2 Kings chapter 18, King Hezekiah. In the third year of the reign of Hoshea, son of Elah, the king of Israel, now he was very evil, we just read, Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, became king of Judah at the age of 25. Now who was Ahaz? Ahaz was really, really wicked. So Ahaz was wicked. Hezekiah was good. But Hezekiah has a son called Manasseh who is really awful. And so you just see how good men have bad sons and bad men have good sons. And I suppose that that is how it has to be, because every individual has got to be a believer independently, individually. You don't just believe because of your mum and dad, and you're not going to be saved just because of your mum and dad. And likewise, you're not going to be rejected from God's kingdom just because your mum and dad were bad. Everybody has got to individually stand before God. And that's why we've got to read the Bible for ourselves and pray to God and think about life and open our lives to the influence of Jesus. That's how we've got to be. And then we will find this individual and personal relationship with God. That's how it's got to be. It can really be no other way. And so let's read on then about Hezekiah, although we're going to find that he actually does start off well, but I don't think he finishes that well. But anyway, he was without doubt a man of a huge amount of faith. And so because of that, when God starts off talking about him, he starts talking about him very, very positively, because he really did do a lot of good. And he was very, very brave to go against his father, Ahaz, who was so bad. So, he was only 25, still quite young when he became king. His mother's name was Abijah. So, that means worshipper of Yah. So, we wonder whether actually she was the good influence on him. So, it was a wicked man who married a spiritual woman, and she raised their son to believe. Maybe that's how it worked out. He followed in the ways of his father David, doing what was pleasing to the Lord. He destroyed the high places of worship. I feel like cheering. Finally, the high places are gone. Because in all the other kings, it says that, yeah, he was okay, but the high places were not taken away. And that's where they worship both God and Baal, Yahweh and Baal. So he destroyed them. He broke down the stone pillars they used to worship, cut down the images of Asherah, that's the goddess they worshipped, and he broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made and called it Nehushtan, because up until then the Israelites had been burning incense to it. So that was when Israel in the wilderness were attacked by snakes, and Moses makes a bronze snake, and all the people who looked at the snake lived. They didn't die from the snakes. And Jesus says that I, when I'm lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And he says that as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so I shall be lifted up on the cross. So that all of us who look to Jesus on the cross and really believe, although we've been bitten by the snake because we've all sinned, we'll be saved. But unfortunately, people had started to worship just this brass serpent on a pole, just like an image, like an idol, just like people tend to worship the wood upon which Jesus was crucified, the cross. And that's just as bad. So he destroys it. Hezekiah trusted, he believed in Yahweh, the God of Israel. Judah had never had a king like him before nor after. He was faithful to Yahweh, did not disobey him, but kept all his commandments that the Lord had given Moses. Well, I'm not sure if that was true right at the end of his life, but we'll see. It was describing how things were, anyway, to start with. He was faithful to the Lord. So the Lord was with him, and he was successful in everything he did. He rebelled against Assyria and refused to send the tribute money to them. He defeated the Philistines, including Gaza. In the fourth year of Hezekiah's reign, Shalmaneser of Assyria invaded Israel, that's the 10 tribes, and besieged Samaria. After 3 years of siege, Samaria fell. This was in the 6th year of Hezekiah's reign. The Assyrians took the Israelites into Assyria as prisoners, into the city of Halah, some to the river of Habor, and some into the cities of the Medes. Samaria fell because the Israelites, that's the 10 tribes, did not obey Yahweh their God, but they broke the covenant that they had with him and disobeyed the laws given through Moses, the servant of Yahweh. They refused to listen and refused to obey. So Hezekiah saw all that happening when he was only 30 years old, or 32 years old, something like that. And he saw that happening. It was a lesson to him. And he thought, I don't want that to happen to me. And that's how we should be as we look at how God works in the world around us. In the 14th year of Hezekiah, Sennacherib attacked Judah and conquered them. So he attacked the cities of Judah and conquered them, but he didn't take Jerusalem. And this is after Hezekiah has been so good. And so you might think, well, if you're good, then you won't have problems. But Hezekiah was good, and he did have problems. So it's not true that if you are sort of righteous, then you'll have an easy life. In fact, it's the opposite, that wicked people often have an easy life, and good people often have a hard life. And that's how it was. And also, this was in the 14th year of his reign. Well, later on, we're going to read that he's really sick, and he asks God not to die, and God says, okay, I'll give you another 15 years. So you can work out that if he reigned for 29 years, as it says he did, then this illness that he had was in the 14th year of his reign. But it was in the 14th year of his reign that he was attacked. Judah was attacked, and most of the cities were conquered by Assyria. So it just shows that your trials often come all together. And that's what happened with poor Hezekiah, all one on top of another. But God was in that. Hezekiah sent a message to Sennacherib when Sennacherib was in the city of Lachish. He said, I've done wrong. Please stop attacking us and I will pay whatever you demand. Well, he should have had faith in God, really. And so the Assyrians replied that Hezekiah should send 10,000 kilograms of silver and 1,000 kilograms of gold. That's a huge amount of gold and silver. And Hezekiah sent all the silver that was in the temple. He stripped the gold from the doors of the temple and the gold which he himself had put on the doorposts and sent it all to Sennacherib, who was the emperor of Assyria. But then, when he'd done that, the Assyrians sent a large army from Lachish to attack Hezekiah in Jerusalem. When they came to Jerusalem, they occupied the road where the fullers worked, that is, who dyed cloth. Then they sent for King Hezekiah, and he sent three of his senior officials to meet them, Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah. Well, it just shows that trying to buy your way out of trouble, no matter how much silver and gold you pay, will not work, because you've got to trust in God. He paid all that money to make the Assyrians go away, and they still attack him. So trust not in money, in gold and silver, but in God. So they asked, the Assyrians asked, in whom does your king Hezekiah trust so much? In God? And they told him that, yes, Hezekiah does trust in Yahweh to save him. And so Sennacherib replied, do you think that words are any real use compared to our great big military might and army that we've got here? Who do you think is really going to help you against us? You're expecting Egypt to help you, But anyone who trusts on Egypt is trusting on a broken reed, which will break and jab into your hand if you put your weight on it. This is what the king of Egypt is like to all who trust in him. And that is true of what the world is like, because Egypt is like the world. And so the Assyrians went on. So who are you trusting in? In Yahweh your God? It was Yahweh's altars that Hezekiah destroyed when he told the people of Judah and Jerusalem to only worship at the altar in Jerusalem. So here you are. I offer you 2,000 horses if you've got that many men to sit on them and ride them. He knew they didn't even have 2,000 soldiers in Jerusalem. You are no match for even the lowest ranking of our Assyrian leaders. And yet you're hoping the Egyptians are going to send you chariots and horsemen. Do you think that I've come up against you without Yahweh behind me? Yahweh himself told me to attack you and destroy you. So you can see how it's going. That Hezekiah has trusted in Egypt. He's made a mistake. He should have completely trusted in God, but he didn't. And this is where it gets you if you try to trust in the world. Then these three Jewish officials, Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah, they said to the Assyrians, please speak Aramaic to us because we understand it. Please don't speak Hebrew because all our ordinary people are listening. They're all on the wall listening. But the Assyrian replied, this Rabshakeh, do you think you and Hezekiah are the only ones that my master, the king of Assyria, wants to talk to? No, I am talking to the people who are on the wall. They're going to suffer terribly, just as you will. And then Rabshakeh stood up and shouted in Hebrew, listen to what the king of Assyria is offering you. He warns you not to let Hezekiah deceive you. Hezekiah can't save you. Don't let him persuade you to trust in Yahweh. Don't think that Yahweh is going to save you. He can't stop the Assyrian army from taking your city. Don't listen to Hezekiah. The king of Assyria commands you to come out and surrender. And then you'll be taken to a land where you can eat from your own vine and fig tree and drink water from your own wells. Now, that was exactly the promise that Isaiah and Micah had made about what the kingdom of God's going to be like. Sitting every man under his own vine and fig tree. And the Assyrians were saying, no, our Assyria, that's like the kingdom of God. It's going to be the kingdom of God. And that's what the world says to us. If you go our way, then we'll give you the kingdom. Our kingdom is the kingdom of God, but it isn't. It's fake. And so he said again, don't let Hezekiah deceive you into thinking that Yahweh will rescue you. Did the gods of any other nations save their countries from the king of Assyria? Where are they now, the gods of Hamath, Arpad, Sepharvaim, Hena, and Ivar? Nobody saved Samaria, that was the capital of the 10 tribes. These gods never save their country from the king of Assyria. So what makes you think that Yahweh can save Jerusalem? The people did not answer a word because King Hezekiah had told them not to answer a word. Then Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah, that's the three leaders of Judah, they tore their clothes and they went and told King Hezekiah what the Assyrians had said. Well, that's the end of the chapter, but in the next chapter we're going to read what they do and God's wonderful answer, because they get out of this eventually by trusting in God.